On your seats, there is a blessed brochure. I would like you to take that out for a moment. If you're joining us online, there is a link that you can go to view this brochure, maybe print one off for yourself. We are beginning a series called Bless, and we want to think about and pray about people that God would put on our heart that we can share the good news of Christ with and help them to walk one step closer to Jesus. We do that through blessing. So inside, there's two little fold-outs here, or tear-offs, and there's a list that you can put names on there. Here's my encouragement. Leave the top name blank this morning, and then put in 3 to 5 names on the rest of that. And at the end of the service, we're going to bring those up. We're going to tear one of those off and bring it up here. That'll go to the church. Those names will be prayed for with the conference and the denomination. The other one is for you to hang on to and continue to pray daily for those people that you want to see come one step closer to Jesus. All right. As you're working on that, we'll have time at the end of the message to do that as well. So the tomb is empty. He is risen. Indeed. So this is the first Sunday after Easter, and we want to tell this story that the tomb is empty. So we're going to work on getting equipped as a church to do that, to tell people about Jesus, people who are already in our lives. So as you fill that out and ask God to show you where he's already at work in the lives of those people, jot down those family, friends, relatives, acquaintances, neighbors, co-workers, whoever it is that God places on your heart. And now, imagine this. The tomb is empty. God raised Jesus from the dead. What can God do through you with that kind of power to bless the people around you? We're going to figure that out in the next few weeks as we walk through this series. So I want to give you some good news today. We're talking about blessing others in this evangelism initiative, but the really good news is this. You ready? God wants to bless you. That's right. God wants to bless you today. So after you ask God to help you make this list, people to pray for, I'm not going to ask you to do anything more this week other than one thing. I'm going to ask you to pray for just one person, and that person is yourself. That's right. This week, I'm going to invite you to pray for yourself. Pray that God will bless you. Now, there's a reason for this. The good news is that God already wants to bless you. I'm pretty sure that's a safe prayer because God sent his one and only Son to die on the cross for you that you might be forgiven so that you might receive the blessing of God. God wants to bless you. So I'm going to pray for you right now. Bow your head. We're doing a lot of prayer today. That's a good thing. God, you love your church. You love each person that is joining us here today and online. Lord, you want to bless each person so much. You demonstrated it by your Son, Jesus, dying on the cross for us. Lord, I pray that you give us new life by your Spirit. Lord, I pray that you give us a life that is eternal. We thank you for that. And a blessing, but Lord, I ask that you bless each person so that in turn they might also be a blessing. I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. So my invitation again is to seek God in prayer this week, praying for one person. Who is that person? Me, that's right, praying for yourself. Now there's two passages in Scripture today that give us this unique view of what bless means. One in Mark 12, the other in Galatians 5. So bless is kind of this unique word that describes God's favor, God's blessing, a gift, a spiritual well-being that God gives us. But it also describes the opposite of that as kind of our response to God's blessing in our lives. We bless God. Like the psalmist in 103, he says, bless or praise the Lord, O my soul, all that's in within me, bless your holy name. Bless, Lord, O my soul, forget not all your benefits. So we not only receive blessing from God, but we also give blessing to God. So Jesus describes our blessing God in two commands. The first one is Mark chapter 12, which says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's the first command. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's no greater command than these. The other one, or the command, it's kind of a two-in-one. The teachers of the law asked Jesus, what's the greatest command? Well, he didn't give them just one, right? You can't have one without the other, so he gives them this twofer. Love God, love others. And then it reveals God's heart. The Apostle John said, if anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? The answer is, it can't, right? If we don't love others, then there is no love of God in us. That's why Jesus puts these two commands together. So love involves this idea of kind of tangible blessing, gifting, being a blessing. But more importantly, the love of God has to be in us in order for that love of God to be shown through us. So we don't do it by ourselves. And I actually think that's some really good news. Because think about it. Have you ever tried to do something really good to someone who's really bad? It could be as simple as being kind to someone who bullies you every day. Now, maybe that's not a little thing. That's hard, right? Nothing in me wants to love someone who's being mean to me. That just doesn't compute. Or it could be as hard as forgiving someone who killed someone you love. Now, there's no reconciling that situation. Both are hard, very hard. So we're talking about a biblical love, the kind of love demonstrated on the cross, that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. That kind of love, I think that, on the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, those who were crucifying him. Father, forgive them. For they don't know what they do. I don't know about you, but if I'm hanging on that cross, I don't think that's going to be my first response. The apostle wrote, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ in 1 Corinthians 1:11. In other words, we're not following our own example. We're not following a human example as the original picture. We do things like Jesus. So when we follow Jesus, and only when we follow him can we be the blessing that this evangelism brochure is asking for. So only when Jesus' love is at work through us, Christ in us, demonstrating God's love through us, only then is it possible to be that blessing. That's why I'm encouraging you to pray for yourself. First, pray that God will bless you so that blessing can flow through you to someone else. That's what it means to kind of have this a rule of life. We need this guide to help us to rely on God's love. Benedict of Nursia, he lived in Italy in the 5th and 6th centuries, a little church history, and he led a monastic order that became known as the Rule of Saint Benedict. So there's a set of commitments as this community that they live by, words to live by. It guides their community interactions. You know, kind of that whole idea that we have in this relational covenant, like how do we get along when we don't like each other or when we're arguing? These are our rules, our life together. He wrote, never turn away when someone needs your love. Simple rule, but profound. Never turn away when someone needs your love. The little rule acts kind of like a trellis, according to Stephen Macchia. A trellis, that idea, like a grapevine that's growing up and needs something to hang on in order to grow and bear fruit. We have some grapevines on the patio over there, and as they grow up, we have to add on to the trellis so that they can keep growing, and then fruit all over the place. So this trellis kind of guides the habits of our lives. This rule is like a practices for us. Brad Roth, in his book Flyover Church, he draws this comparison to a rule that he calls the little mulberry rule, and he draws on the image of a mulberry tree that Jesus talks about in Luke 17. Jesus said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it'll obey you. So this idea of a mulberry tree, apparently they're very common. I did a little research. I didn't really realize this. They're all over the world. They're actually in also in Minnesota. They're in South Dakota, though a little more rare. They grow a fruit that's kind of like a blackberry, so it's pretty tasty. Maybe I think about it as like a raspberry or a black raspberry. Super good, but these they grow like a bush. They grow wild. They're an opportunistic tree. In other words, they'll grow in the cracks and the crags where other things can't grow. So it's like a weed that can easily spread, and it's everywhere. It grows in marginal places and ragged and wild places. So the thing about the mulberry is that the fruit is really good. It's really super tasty. So if we think about this as the idea of a mulberry rule, we get this idea of opportunistic kind of love that has really good fruit. And opportunistic meaning that God's love takes every opportunity, every advantage in order to demonstrate itself wherever it can in the lives of people around us. And it is really good fruit because ultimately it is God's love being poured out, the kind of self-sacrificial love that blesses. So last week we celebrated the resurrection in the empty tomb, and we raised the question for Mary and all of us, really, can we imagine such a thing? In other words, faith asks, can you imagine how the fruit of the Spirit can manifest itself in your life? Can you imagine how God's love can work in you in order to bless the people around you? So how can this wild, opportunistic love of God show up in your life and produce this sweet, tasty fruit? Paul writes what that fruit is in Galatians 5:22-23. He says, love, joy, forbearance, which is simply patience. Forbearance is patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Can you imagine all that fruit being in your life? Every one of those being in your life in more and more ever-increasing measure. Imagine what that would be like in your life, but also in the life of those around you. So over the next several weeks, we're going to pray that the Lord continues to bear that fruit in your life. And we're going to unpack what this fruit of the Spirit, this life rule means, this life by the Spirit as it blesses us and blesses others and brings others one step closer to Jesus. So Brad Roth, he shares this little mulberry rule based on this fruit of the Spirit. The first one, love. It's about love of God and love of neighbor. That's at the heart of what all these pieces of fruit are, you know, demonstrated in love. And then joy, this idea of true joy in our lives. You know, joy is hard to come by. He talks about it as worship the triune God and the beauty of his holiness. You know, like when we come together on Sunday morning and we begin to worship and sing and we begin to let all the things in our own mind and in our own heart drift away as we just bring this all to God and lift it up in joyful worship and letting ourselves experience God's joy as we sing. Peace, simply praying. Brad talks about peace as that art and act of coming to God in prayer and experiencing the peace that passes all understanding, that God has this. Patience. He talks about it as creating space for Christ to grow in us over the long term. Patience for Christ to grow in us. Not so much patience for other people, but patience that we become more and more like Christ, so we interact with people like Christ. And kindness, you know, simply living mercifully. There's so much to be said about kindness. Just be kind. Goodness. Engage in the neighborhood with the goodness of the gospel. And all the things that Jesus teaches, goodness, godliness, and experiencing that. Faithfulness. Talking to people about Jesus and encouraging and equipping the church to reach out and share what we have, what God has given. The blessing. Gentleness. He talks about this as service, serving gently, serving in our rural towns and places, he says, especially in the school, with the poor and the world through mission. And then finally, self-control. He describes this as being authentic in your place. The real you, as God designed you to be, experiencing life around you. So So imagine what God can do through you. Ask yourself, if the tomb is empty, and it really is, then what else is possible in my life? What can God really do through me? So at this point, I want to introduce you to the big idea of this message. And here it is, if you haven't already guessed. God blesses others through you. God blesses others through you. Jesus came to find people who were lost and to help those who were hurting. And we join him in that mission as we start to pray and ask God, where are you at work? As we begin to recognize where the Holy Spirit is moving and we step into what God is already doing, because this is all God's work. So we're simply asking God to line us up with what he's doing so that we can be a blessing to others. So God's love through us, that's the fruit. It exudes. When that love is in us, it radiates, it emanates, it comes out, it flows, kind of oozes all over the place. It grows in us as God nourishes that life in the Spirit. So the point is, you don't make it. So I hope you don't leave here today thinking, I just need to be more loving. I just need to work harder at being more kind. I just need to be better at doing what's right. Now, we hope that is the outcome, but the fruit of the Spirit is not fruit of your effort. It is God's work in you. So what does that mean? That God's love through you, produced in you, that wild opportunistic fruit that finds its way to be demonstrated around you, is something that we don't create, we cultivate. We create opportunity for it to develop in us. And we call that in the Covenant Church a conscious dependence on the Holy Spirit. In other words, being conscious of God's work all around us all the time. The Apostle Paul calls this being led by the Spirit. He says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So the Spirit leads us in God's love. How many of you golf? Have ever golfed? Maybe played baseball? If you have, then you know what it means to hit the sweet spot. The idea that the exact point on the face of the ball, where when you strike the center of gravity, hits the exact point on the club head or the bat center of gravity, and it's these both exact points, they're infinite small, and there's the sweet spot. So the impact in that sweet spot, it provides this optimal energy transfer from the club head to the ball, from the bat to the ball. And the result is the ball flies straight and true with maximum distance possible. But when you miss the sweet spot, well, then you know what happens, right? A divot, a pop-up, you're out. In the water, for sure. Life by the Spirit. It's like hitting that sweet spot. Doing things on our own effort is never the sweet spot. If it's all about our effort, then we're just going to hook, or we're going to shank, or we're going to land in the water. It's never going to work. But when we come to Christ, we're completely changed. We're a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. The writer says it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's freedom to live in that sweet spot. So we say that Jesus lived the life we couldn't live. He died the death we deserved so we could have the righteousness we can't obtain on our own. It's a blessing. It's grace. It's a gift. And this gift comes through the Holy Spirit and produces the kind of fruit that is like the life of Jesus. It's not something we make, just like we can't make oranges or apples or anything like that. We can nurture a tree so it can grow and the fruit can come, but we can't make it. The fruit comes when we submit our lives to Jesus and are led by the Spirit. In Galatians 2, the apostle writes, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is an amazing idea that Christ lives in me. Christ lives in you, and it is Christ in you that produces this kind of fruit of the Spirit that not only blesses you, but blesses those around you. That's the sweet spot of being a follower of Jesus. So it's worth repeating that, therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new is here. Now we can become people where love is just part of who we are. Joy is expressed automatically in our life. Peace is part of that fruit. We're people of patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness and self-control. Let's repeat that. Galatians 5. I invite you to read this with me. Let's go. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. See, the good news just keeps getting better. That's what is possible because of the empty tomb. That's what it means to have this life in Christ. So last week, we talked about Jesus being raised from the dead. Before he went up in a cloud, the Apostle John writes, and with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So he breathed this life-giving Holy Spirit on them, making this true resurrection life possible, right? It's not us, it's God in us at work, the Spirit in us. And now this is life full of the Spirit, overflowing and giving power. And just like last week, we discovered that the tomb is empty. Now we can say the same thing about life in the Spirit. Wow, I didn't know that life could be like that. I didn't know that I could love like that. Life in the Spirit means I didn't know I could have that kind of joy in my life. I didn't know it existed. I didn't know I could have peace like that. That passes all understanding. Peace or patience or kindness or goodness like that. I didn't know it could freely flow through my life. Wow, I didn't know that I could be faithful like that. I didn't know that I could act with that kind of gentleness. I didn't know that I could have that kind of self-control, that God would do that in my life. I didn't know. Wow. So it's the sweet spot of life in the Spirit. And that's where we're going to keep exploring over the next several weeks as we learn to live in that new life that God has given us. We're new creations. We're kind of like that mulberry bush, growing in the cracks and the crags where love is opportunistic and it begins to grow through our lives and begins to bless those around us, producing this great, tasty fruit in our lives. So how about let's let the Bible tell us how to live this life of blessing. So if we open it up into Galatians 5, beginning in verse 16, Paul the Apostle, he writes about this life in the Spirit. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, these things are not part of the life of the Spirit. These are things that are part of our fleshly lives, those temptations and desires that don't come from God. It's the opposite of the mulberry rule. The Holy Spirit in us then turns us from these fleshly desires that honestly we all have, turns us from them back to God to honor that commandment that Jesus gives to love God and love others with all our heart and mind and soul and strength. And this is what God's love looks like in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires, and since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, or envying each other. So my wife Cheryl and I have five grandkids. We're fortunate to have four of them less than 2 hours away, which means that we can go visit them, we can go to games, we can interact with them. But our fifth grandchild, born recently, he lives right here. Now, That's pretty amazing because we don't just get to see him when we drive over there. We get to see him pretty often. Sometimes he even comes to see me here. And it's really exciting because we get to know this little guy even more and more. You know, I get to know how when he gets tired and he starts to go, that means he's tired. When he's hungry, I get to, I know how to make him smile a little bit in order to make him laugh. And I know when to leave the room when he's, you know, made a messy diaper. So being close and spending time, I get to know him. Now, that's not a judgment on grandparenting or parenting, you know, in your own life, but it is a blessing. And it's that way with the Holy Spirit. You know, when we consciously spend time with the Spirit of the living God, and we get to know the Holy Spirit, and we get to understand the Spirit's voice and Spirit's prompting and the Spirit's leading into the things that are fruitful and life-giving, then we begin to be transformed from the inside out. The Spirit begins to work in us and through us in ways that we can allow the Spirit to move. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear what? Much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." The apostle calls this abiding, or this abiding that Jesus talks about. The apostle calls it living by the Spirit. He says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit. So when we're walking in the Spirit, we're in line with the Spirit, when we know the heart of the Spirit and we're close proximity with the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit is showing up in our lives. Paul says, if we live by the Spirit, let us walk by the Spirit. And Jesus' command to love becomes evident. It becomes part of who we are. It begins to bear fruit. And when that's happening, people around us get blessed. And I think as we're talking about bringing people to Christ, as we're talking about what it means to be an evangelist, what it means to draw others in, it's really about the love of God being displayed in your life through you to them. God loving them through you. When that's happening, people take notice. So in this Blessed series, we begin with prayer. Remember, we're praying for one person. Who's that person? Me, right, yes. As the we're asking the Holy Spirit to help you, me, to walk close to him. Paul writes, those who belong to Christ Jesus have been crucified in the flesh with their passions and desires, and since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That's our prayer. So I invite you to take out your blessed card and finish filling that out if you can. If you don't have a pen or something, but take a moment after worship to fill it out and bring it up here. The names of people that you will be reaching out to, talking to, inviting. There's different steps that you can take to bring them one step closer in order for you to bless them. But now, that first line, top of the page, put your own name right on the top. Write in your name. Right on the top. And that person is the person that you are going to pray for. The church is going to pray for you. The conference is going to pray. The denomination is going to pray for you. Pray that you draw closer, that you become a blessing, that you are blessed. And so I'm going to invite us to pray. I'm going to pray for you. The little Mulberry rule goes like this. I invite us to pray this together. It's up on the screen. If you're joining us online, pray this together. Ready? Lord, bless me that I may be a blessing. Help me walk by the Spirit. Help me draw near to you. Transform me into a new creation. Help me love you. Help me love others. Lord, I bless you and I love you. In Jesus' name, amen.